Did you know we have completely ad-free early access to all of our episodes? Well, we do. Not only that, but we have dozens of bonus episodes waiting for you. Head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod, and you can check it out for 7 days absolutely free. That's patreon.com/ghosttownpod.
A California Highway to Hell. I'm Jason Horton.
I'm Rebecca Lieb.
And this is Ghost Town.
Family listens to Ghost Town, I have to say. And I'm often surprised when they do, because why? They don't have a lot of interest in true crime, haunted things. They're good Midwestern American people. But every once in a while, they surprise me and hit me, especially hit me with some truth, especially my California relatives. My dad's from Los Angeles. And my uncle gave me a recommendation, and it was fantastic. He's a public defender here in Los Angeles. So we're going to talk today about the Newhall incident, also known as the Newhall Massacre.
So this is up by Santa Clarita, mm-hmm. right? Okay.
Yeah. Do you know Newhall?
I know Newhall, yeah.
How do you,
know that? That area, I know.
I was so unfamiliar.
Newhall is where they filmed a lot of Westerns, I think, in
yes,
Newhall.
Yes, that's right.
A lot of Westerns. They had a lot of ranches and, TV and movie sets.
Mm-hmm.
I love all that. I love where do they film this? Where do they film that?
Totally.
And I've done some improv up there.
Here we go. Really?
Yeah.
Some casual heraldry up there.
No, it's the
long form piece of improv that we used to do for about 8 to 10 years earlier before this podcast existed.
No, but I'm familiar with that. Mm-hmm. I've been up to, they shoot a lot of TV and up in Santa Clarita in general, whether it's Western or not. But yeah, I'm familiar.
Oh, all right.
Surprised.
Well, I'm very surprised. I had no idea. And so a lot of this won't be news to you until we get to the gunplay.
Ooh.
That's right. So Newhall, California is the southernmost, the oldest community of Santa Clarita, California. It's a really small, kind of sleepy town. It is named after businessman Henry Mayo Newhall. His home is there. The place features many silent movie scenes. The home to the Pioneer Oil Refinery, a California historical landmark and the oldest surviving oil refinery in the world and the most successful refinery in California, arguably. So it's been, like you said, the location for many movies, including Suddenly, Disney's The World's Greatest Athlete, the TV series The Magnificent Seven, all filmed in Newhall. But really, it's most famous for the improv that you've done there. Just kidding. It's most famous for this massacre. It's called the Newhall Massacre. It was a shootout from April 5th to 6th, 1970, in Newhall at the Old Road and Henry Mayo Drive. And it went down between two very heavily armed criminals. If you don't like guns, this is not the episode for you, I would say.
Also, we did an episode about the North Hollywood shootout,
yes.
which is also very famous.
It is.
It's like one of the records in amount of ammunition mm-hmm. in the shortest amount of time. But if you want to check out another, if you're
into guns, check out that one and this one.
Yeah.
You're already listening to this one, so after this one, check out the next one.
Yeah.
But if you're not, this is a lot about guns. It's a lot about highway patrol reform. It will get very much into
that. And this is pre-Chips. This is probably like a few years before the TV show Chips came out.
Yeah. So yes, definitely. It involved two heavily armed criminals, like I said, and four officers of the California Highway Patrol. And it was the deadliest day in the history of California law enforcement and changed law enforcement history. So we're talking, again, pre-North Hollywood. We're talking people who did not know what they were doing. We're also going to talk a lot about the age of the people involved. It was a really young skewing crime. The average age was around 24, 25, which is very tragic.
In 1970, the 60s were, radical.
Sure.
And the 70s were also radical, but I feel like it was in, like I said, a sleepy town. We're not talking about downtown LA or mm-hmm. the Bronx or mm-hmm. San Francisco. We're talking about, if you've been or you're familiar with mm-hmm. Newhall, I had no idea this existed.
Yeah.
And this is the last place I assume this would exist.
Yeah, it's right by Magic Mountain. So if that gives you any frame of reference. So Jack Wright Twining, who is 35, the oldest person involved in all of this, and Bobby Augustus Davis, 27, were both career criminals with long histories of violent felonies. Twining had been in and out of 8 different federal prisons since he was 16 years old. He spent 5 years in Alcatraz, which was like on its last years of having...
And we've done an episode on Alcatraz.
We have. This is bringing it all together, you know? In Alcatraz, he killed another prisoner in self-defense, he said. Dangerous man. He was released from federal prison in Tallahassee, Florida, 11 months before the shootings that were... These shootings, the Newhall Massacre. Davis had been released from prison 8 months prior to the shootings and was on parole in Houston, Texas. So they're prison buddies. They were life buddies. After failing to land jobs following their releases, Twining and Davis met up in Houston and drove to Sacramento, where they tried to rob banks and failed to do so. Then they drove to Los Angeles in a 1964 Pontiac Grand Prix. On the way to L.A., they noticed construction along the highway near Gorman, which is also like close to Santa Clarita, close to the Grapevine off the 5.
We mentioned Gorman in the episode where we talked
about... This is a real who's who of Ghost Town.
We talked about the Cotton Club. Did we talk about this? Or that might be on... Is that on our Patreon?
Ooh,
that might be.
Question.
I'm not. I can't remember because we have so many episodes. But that's
so much
where.
Content.
Yeah.
If how can we call?
If I think the Cotton Club murders are on Patreon.com/GhostTownPod. But Gorman is. We do a lot of
that
California.
That was the most organic.
It was a legitimate
drop.
One.
Yeah, that was a good one.
That's where it is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. So they were in Gorman, near Gorman, and they thought they saw some construction along the way to Los Angeles, and they thought that they would steal some explosives to commit some kind of crime. So getting their explosives together, so whenever they would need them, maybe they would have them. So they got to L.A. Well, past L.A., they went to Long Beach, where they rented an apartment together. Best buds. Soon, they began observing an armored car delivering cash to Santa Anita Park. They devised a scheme to use explosive to rob the delivery car on a freeway off-ramp. So they went back to the construction site in Gorman to grab some explosives. Oh, yeah, they also had some other fun toys. A Smith & Wesson Model 39 9mm semi-automatic pistol, a 6-inch Colt Python, a .357 Magnum revolver, 2 snub-nosed Colt Detective Special, 38 caliber revolvers, an M1903, a .30-06 bolt-action military rifle, a Remington Model 572, a .22 caliber pump-action rifle, and a .44 Magnum Ruger Model 44 semi-automatic carbine, and a Super Soaker Plus.
Plus?
Plus. Oh, wow. That's one where you have it on your back, you know, to like carry the water. They didn't have that. So on the evening of April 5th, Davis dropped Twining off in the mountains to steal the explosives. At approximately 11:21 p.m., Davis was driving northbound on Interstate 5, south of Gorman, when he made an illegal U-turn across the highway median, nearly colliding with a southbound vehicle driven by a guy named Ivory Jack Tidwell, a serviceman en route to Port Hueneme with his wife as a passenger. Tidwell had an argument with Davis and both stopped their vehicles, where Davis, surprise, took out his gun. Anytime these people they're like, I need a stamp. Here's a gun. Like, they will take out their guns. Tidwell persuaded Davis that the California Highway Patrol was in the area, and Davis drove away. The couple immediately drove to a phone and reported the incident like normal human beings, including a description of Davis's vehicle. Officers in the area were informed that the vehicle was wanted in connection with a misdemeanor. Then a sparsely populated area, hunting and shooting were allowed. So this wasn't like, it sounds crazy when you say it, but like actually like people having guns and being volatile around, especially the Grapevine. It's kind of a rugged, again, a little bit rural, wasn't so crazy. Several minutes later, California Highway Patrol officers Walt Frago, who was 23, and Roger Gore, also only 23, who were partners in the same patrol car, spotted the red Pontiac near Castaic. And again, that's very close to there, and began following the vehicle. Officers James Pence, 24, and George Allen, 24, were in a second patrol car, and they waited in Valencia, ready to back up Frago and Gore. The suspect vehicle exited the freeway at Henry Mayo Drive near the present-day site of Six Flags Magic Mountain. Again, if you go to Six Flags, you can be very close to where this epic shootout first began, and pulled into the parking lot of Jay's Coffee Shop adjacent to the Standard gas station, which I believe is still there. Frago and Gore ordered the two occupants to exit their vehicle. Obeying the officer's orders, Davis exited the driver's seat and walked to the front of the vehicle, where Gore proceeded to search him. Meanwhile, Frago approached the other side of the car carrying a shotgun. As Frago walked to the Pontiac, Twining exited the passenger seat and opened fire with a Smith & Wesson Model 28 revolver. He just went hard. So it's like nothing to open fire. Before Frago could aim or fire his shotgun at Twining, he was struck by a two .357 Magnum rounds and killed. Gore immediately drew his service pistol and returned fire at Twining, but in doing so lost track of Davis, who was right next to him. While Twining and Gore exchanged gunfire, Davis pulled a .38 special caliber Smith & Wesson Model 49 revolver out of his waistband and killed Gore with two shots at point-blank range. This will be the first time we do something at point-blank. There will be others. Shortly after Gore was killed, Allen and Pence arrived on the scene. Davis and Twining immediately opened fire on them with their pistols, expending all of their remaining rounds, and dove back into their own car for new weapons. In total, they had twice as many weapons as the four California Highway Patrol officers they would eventually face in their two patrol cars, which is insane. That two men, two criminals, would have more weapons cumulatively than the four highway patrolmen that were chasing them. Davis pulled out a sawed-off 12-gauge Western Field pump-action shotgun, while Twining grabbed a semi-automatic Colt 45 pistol. Twining's pistol jammed after one shot, but he grabbed another one from the car and exited the driver's side. Meanwhile, Allen emptied his Remington Model 870 shotgun at the Pontiac, firing the gun so fast he accidentally ejected a live round in the process. A single pellet from the shotgun struck Twining in the forehead, but it caused only a minor superficial wound. After expending all of his shotgun rounds, Allen opened fire on Davis with his Smith & Wesson Model 19 357 Magnum revolver. There will be a quiz about all these guns at the end of the episode, but he didn't hit him. Davis returned fire with his sawed-off shotgun, striking Allen with several rounds of buckshot and inflicting fatal injuries. I had to Google what buckshot was, and it's essentially these tiny iron balls. Like they look like, like, you know, Civil War pistols where you, like, put one giant iron ball into it.
They don't necessarily kill you, but they little balls go, like, embedded into your skin. I mean, I guess how close it is, but they just embed into your skin and,
Yeah. It's getting pretty intense here in Castaic, California. So this guy, Gary D. Ness, who's 31, former U.S. Marine, just on his way to work when he happened upon this shootout. Ness got out of his vehicle and ran over to the fallen officer, Allen. He tried to drag him to safety, but couldn't move him. He looked up and saw Davis discard his now empty sawed-off shotgun and grab the Remington shotgun that had been dropped by Frago. Without realizing Frago had never fired the gun, Davis tried to cycle the action of the shotgun, but since it had not been fired, it was locked on a live round. Eventually, he accidentally fired the gun into the air. Startled, he dropped the weapon and grabbed the service pistol from Frago's holster. So he's grabbing guns from dead highway patrolmen to help save the two that were remaining possibly alive. Meanwhile, on the other side of the cruiser, Pence fired all six rounds, just shots aplenty, from his .357 Magnum revolver at Twining, but missed. Twining returned fire with his Colt 1911, hitting Pence in the chest and in both legs. Pence fell trying to reload. At the time, the California Highway Patrol did not issue speed loaders to their officers, obviously. Pence had to reload one round at a time, which was, like, insane, considering, again, what he was up against. On the other side of the cruiser, Ness picked up Allen's discarded shotgun and tried to fire at Davis, but the gun was empty. Can you imagine, on your way to work, you see a shootout and you're like, I'm an old Marine. Like, let me get in this action. So Pence had to reload. As Davis opened fire on him with Frago's pistol, Ness dropped the shotgun and returned fire with Allen's service revolver. His shots hit the Pontiac and a fragment from one of the bullets lodged into Davis's chest, but the shot did not incapacitate him. Ness was soon out of ammunition. Pence was still trying to reload his revolver and failed to see Twining's approach. As Pence inserted the sixth cartridge and started to close the cylinder of his weapon, Twining shot and killed him from behind with two shots to the head at point-blank range. Ness took cover. He was like, I am out of here, in a nearby ditch. As he did, two California Highway Patrol cruisers drove by. Sergeant Harry Ingold, Officers Roger Palmer and Richard Robinson, and Ed Holmes arrived at the scene. After a brief exchange of gunfire with a lone officer, Twining and Davis fled the scene through the darkness in separate directions. Davis took Frago's revolver with him, while Twining ran off with Pence's revolver and Frago's shotguns.
I feel like there should be, like, a bingo chart with all the guns, and then just mark the ones that have been used.
Yeah.
And see when you get bingo.
Exactly, a flow chart. So why don't we take a slight break?
Okay.
And we're going to get back to it.
And then we'll reload.
Oh!
You know how people love hearing ads from us?
They love it.
They love it.
They can't get enough.
There's some people out there that they don't want to hear any ads.
What?
Yeah, they just don't want to hear it. So you could go to stitcher.com/premium, promo code ghosttown, and you get a month for free. They got tons of ad-free shows, exclusive stuff, cool stuff. So
sound of that.
Go to stitcher.com/premium, promo code ghosttown, and get 1 month for free on us. And you won't, well, you will always, we'll call you up in the middle of the night and be like, remember that huge favor I did for you? Yeah. I need you to do me a favor.
Yeah.
I need you to kill somebody. They're going to be like, that's not worth it.
What?
I just got 1 month for free. if you don't like ads, we'll start putting, beside the two bonus episodes a month, now there's a ton, there's going to be like almost 30 on there.
Yeah.
At patreon.com/ghosttownpod. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try to put more ad-free episodes of our regular episodes ahead of time so people can listen to it without ads like this one.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
I would miss these ads because I love the fun back and forth. I love codes of all kinds. I love promos. I love names of businesses. So I'll this is me personally. I'd miss it.
There's some people out there.
If you don't like that.
Alan kind of doesn't like it.
Alan? Judy.
Judy does not like it. Yeah. I'm just trying to think of any other names people probably don't have.
Lori Jean?
Lori Jean with an I, not IE. That Lori Jean. So if you're a Lori with an IE, not you, Lori Jean.
No, that's right. So my friend Celia sent us a message. She said, I am listening to your podcast as we speak, and the serial killer was the inspiration for the serial killer character who killed my character on American Horror Story and is consistently horrifying to me. So let me give you a breakdown. Celia is an actor and writer. She appeared on American Horror Story, and she's listening to the episode where we talk about the Dorm of Death with Richard Speck, where he killed 9 student nurses. Horrifying. Awful. She works all the time, and to have her be particularly horrified by our episode resonates even more because she's an expert in horror.
It's someone who gets paid to act.
Yeah. Paid. Money. Good money.
Yeah, good money.
Good money. SAG money. Union money.
Yeah, that union money is listening to Ghost Town.
Yeah.
And we got another little shout out, right?
Oh, yes, we do. So today, another friend of mine sent me a screen grab from, if you're familiar with Hoodwitch.
Cool. I was not aware.
Yeah.
Very, very cool.
She is, she's an astrologer, spiritualist, really progressive, intersectional, very, very articulate and
popular is what I was going to say.
That's
the thing I care about the most.
Gotcha.
That somebody popular. Mentioned our show.
So her private account, Young Kundalini, put that she liked, you know, when Spotify was doing all of these, like, your top 5 artists or whatever, everyone was putting their stuff up, their genres, whatever. One of her top 5 was Ghost Town. Ghost Town!
And there was other, like, it was, I don't know what she had. She had Dirty John. She maybe had, I don't forget. It was,
she had Cults. She had You Must Remember This. Serial Killers. Just
then Ghost Town, right? Nestled at the end.
Ghost Town weaseled their way in, as we do. Yeah. So we want to thank you to Hoodwitch. You're amazing. I've been a fan for a long time, and that's really, really flattering.
And we are on Spotify if you want to listen.
Absolutely.
On Spotify. Yes, people listen on Spotify.
Yeah, why not? We could be your artist of the decade.
Yeah.
Huh?
You got a whole year to get us in your top 5. Uh-huh. I got a message on Ghost Town Instagram, which is Ghost Town Pod, from Rocky 11, Rawky, and he's sent some great stuff about Centralia, Pennsylvania, which is an actual ghost town that's just kind of like a living, breathing, dead ghost town.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I'm going to check that out.
Yeah, I think the video game and movie Silent Hill is based on it, which is crazy.
Really?
Yeah,
I don't know that game, but
my brother was also telling me about it, too, because he lives in Pennsylvania, so he's
right up in that.
He's right up. It's pretty far from Philadelphia, but I mean, it's
right up in that.
Yeah, it's about 2.5 hours, because we talked about going there, because I wanted to go to, you know, real life.
Yeah.
It's a lot of it, I think, is kind of quartered off, but he sent a message, said, hey, guys, just listen to today's mini-fail. I don't like Star Wars. I feel it doesn't hold up when you rewatch it as an adult.
Okay. Wow.
That's not going to get
controversial.
Yeah, that's not going to make any friends. I did like the original as a kid. With that said, I feel The Mandalorian is great. Haven't watched it yet.
I watched the pilot.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, you watched more than I have. Do you need to explain to you? Even though I haven't seen it, would you like me to explain
please,
it to you?
Please, white man, sit down and explain to me The Mandalorian.
Boba Fett, right?
Got it.
It can be watched without watching any other thing Star Wars, and if you've seen the meme, the Baby Yoda steals the show. Definitely worth the watch. The
Spoiler
episodes are
alerts.
Not too long, and they feel faster. I waited till there was 4 episodes to stream, and now here I am waiting till Friday for the next one. If you don't understand what I'm saying, Rebecca, I can try to explain to you later off
air. I just want to talk about how he calls it a mini fail, as if we have big fails and small fails. It's almost like, because we used to do those mini episodes.
Right,
And it's like, it's emerging of the past, present, and future, baby. Just like Star Wars.
Do you know what? I'm going to say something that's not going to be popular. I think Yoda sucks.
What? Cheers, Nubbins.
It, you know why? It's just overly merchandised.
Like precious.
It's like Yoda Man. Oh, God. All that stuff ruins
it. I don't like that. I like the May the 4th be with you. Like,
all that stuff. Yeah.
But I do like Star Wars. I keep telling people that I want to watch the overly CGI'd early 2000s one again. Because I think I'd appreciate that.
And there's also, my brother got his hands on, so I guess George Lucas, the original, like, you know, episode 4, which is, you know, Star Wars Empire and Return of the Jedi, he took them and he re-edited them and added in CGI. So the original ones, like 1977, 1980, 1983, they weren't available. They were not made available. So he just took them and, like, kind of ruined them, like, added, like...
Oh, my God. You mean perfected them?
CGI.
I want more CGI, please.
So he took them and then he kind of... ruin them, but my brother got his hands on the originals. They're out there.
Dirty Pennsylvania hands. So here we are. We have Twining and Davis. They are at large. They've just run. They've just killed a bunch of highway patrol people, and they're off. So at 3:25 a.m., Davis stumbled onto a camper parked near a dirt road. After exchanging gunfire with the owner, Daniel Schwartz, armed with a World War II surplus Enfield revolver. Whoa. Davis pistol-whipped Schwartz with his empty revolver and stole the camper. Schwartz called the police and reported the theft. Within hours, the camper was spotted and pulled over by deputies from the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department. Without any more loaded guns at his disposal, Davis surrendered. That's the end of the line for Davis. 3 miles away from the shootout scene, Twining broke into a house and took one of the occupants hostage. The man's wife and son escaped and called the police, and soon the house was surrounded by officers from the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department. For the next several hours, negotiators talked on the phone with Twining, who bragged about how he had taken advantage of Frago's mistake in carrying his gun at port. "He got careless, so I wasted him," Twining said. By roughly 9 a.m., all night, baby, Twining released his hostage from the house. After issuing a surrender ultimatum, police pumped tear gas into the house and stormed in. As police entered the residence, Twining killed himself with Frago's shotgun. Davis... was convicted and sentenced to death for the murders of the 4 California Highway Patrol officers. In 1972, Davis's sentence was commuted to life in prison without parole due to the U.S. Supreme Court's ruling in Furman versus Georgia that found state death penalty laws unconstitutional and effectively invalidated all death sentences in the U.S. under existing laws. Davis was found dead, age 67, in his maximum security single cell at Kern Valley State Prison, an apparent suicide on August 16, 2009. I mean, an appropriate end to these two career criminals.
Outlaws.
Yeah, pretty much. But again, just like the back and forth and this and like the point blank pistol whip, like
it almost is a little bit poetic that it happened in the like Newhall area where it's, you know, country-ish. That's where they film a lot of things there. It's like kind of scenic in that sense. So this seems like a
bookend to it.
Yeah, the end of an era,
bloody,
I guess.
Yeah. So there's some aftermath to this because, again, this was completely unprecedented, especially for the California Highway Patrol. So the CHP and other police departments had to seriously regroup and examine the methods of training and tactics after this happened. Because really, when you think about it, a lot of this could have been avoided. None of the 4 California Highway Patrol officers killed had more than 2 years of experience on the job. Gore and Frago were both 23 years old. Pence and Allen were both 24. None were wearing a bulletproof vest, which was not widely issued to police officers at the time. 3 of the patrolmen were found to have died from wounds that a standard vest would have absolutely prevented, which is so sad. A key mistake made by Gore and Frago, though it might be related to their inexperience, was proceeding to approach and search the subjects immediately after pulling them over. Had they waited for Pence and Allen to arrive within a minute or so, they possibly could have just outnumbered Twining and Davis and they would have surrendered to them, or they would have been, you know, overwhelmed or something if there were just more people there. Hard to say. The 3 officers who fired their handguns were using 357 Magnum rounds, and although they had trained and been certified only with 38 special ammunition, which had less recoil, so again, they were using a different gun than what they were trained with. Soon after the shootout, the California Highway Patrol standardized their ammunition on the 38 caliber round, ensuring all officers trained with the same ammunition that they would have when they were actually on duty. Good, smart call. Lack of familiarity with their service shotguns was also cited as a problem during the shootout. Frago had mistakenly approached the vehicle with his shotgun and had diagonally held his gun in front of his body, and Allen had ejected a live round. So just bumbling around these cars, these people with these unfamiliar weapons. The Newhall incident showed that a difficulty in reloading revolvers under fire was a huge problem. There was no speed loaders. Shortly afterward, the California Highway Patrol became the first major state police department to approve and issue them for people. They modified their training to eliminate pocketing brass, which is when the patrol person essentially just discarded their cases before reloading, because there's just not the amount of time that is wasted in discarding your old cartridge cases while someone's open shooting at you would have also been incredibly helpful, maybe life-changing. One of the first responders, CHP Sergeant Harry Ingold, said he found 6 brass cases on the ground next to the driver's door of Pence and Allen's cruiser, indicating that prior to being killed, they had spent time dumping their brass castings on the ground before reloading. Definitely proven to be a problem. California Senate Concurrent Resolution 93 designated Interstate 5 between the Rye Canyon Road overpass and Magic Mountain Parkway in Santa Clarita as the California Highway Patrol officers James E. Pence Jr., Roger D. Gore, Walter C. Frago, and George M. Allen Memorial Highway on August 11, 2006. A dedication ceremony was held on the 30th anniversary of the incident in 2008 and attended by Ness, who was the guy who came by, the Marine who helped, then age 69, who was also praised as a hero. Thank you to the Los Angeles Times, the documentary The Newhall Incident, a Law Enforcement Tragedy, and The Atlantic.
Also, I believe that the North Hollywood shootout, to reevaluate what weapons they had and what they could deal with, because they had the hardware. I mean, they had like the big guns.
Yeah.
And this is also 1997. Mm-hmm. So I believe that things sometimes unfortunately need to happen in order for you to reevaluate. Just like, I'm sure in a car, it's like, what's a seatbelt? We don't know if we need one until something happens.
You're exactly, like, oh, there was which is horrible, yeah. But it's also like you learn through experience.
The evolution.
Unfortunately, again, they were all, I wonder a lot of things, like if they had been older, if all of the Highway Patrol people would have had more experience, if maybe they would have just amended their actions. Also, maybe it wouldn't have mattered at all. Maybe these guys would have killed them regardless. Yeah. You know, it's so hard to say.
I say maybe less crime. But then again,
what would we do if there was less crime?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I guess it's like, who, you wrote a bad check.
That would have been a great cue for the helicopter to come by right then. We never welcome it, but that would have been a good one.
Yeah. Mm. I'll make the noise. Put, put,